When you use an app for the very first time, an interface pops up which asks you to agree with the terms and conditions. More often than not, you agree, you proceed, but if you disagree, you're shut out. So is this a conscious decision of the customer, or is this kind of user policy kind of shoved down your throat by the tech companies? Let's talk about what's going on first.
So I wanted to download this app called 高德地图 AMAP. Well, actually, it's not me, because when I'm doing such things, I always just check I agree to whatever conditions and clause it's provided to me that I don't even read. But we have this smart Mr. Lee that has been reading this, and according to a report from JCRB.com, website of the Procuratorial Daily, he was trying to download this app, which has this is an online app with over 700 million users, and one particular clause, or let's call it terms, has got his attention. According to the terms and condition, when you use a app to contact with a third-party service, you might need to submit your personal information, which might include your ID information, contact number, and accommodation information, and payment information, etc. So Mr. Lee is saying, I don't want this happening to me. I don't want some third-party service I don't even know to use my personal information. So he wanted to say, I don't agree. Click the I don't agree button on the at the very bottom of the clause and conditions. And apparently, if you do that, you cannot download the app.
Yeah, so I think, you know, at first people might hear about this and they'll be like, well, dude, duh. Like, it seems like so many apps today are asking for your personal information that it's not even becoming like something we second guess ourselves about, you know? Sometimes it's like Apple's like, hey, new Apple, you know, whatever came out and you're updating your phone. But well, hey, we need you to agree to these terms and conditions. And half of the time, I don't think any of us even read them, mm-hmm. you know? Let alone if you read them, would you understand them? We'll talk about that. But anyways, with regards to this story, though, I think what's really interesting here is a third party is getting access to your information. You want to use maybe just AMAP, mm-hmm. right? So why do I have to give information to this third party? And this is, I guess, the question that a reporter from JCRB.com wanted to ask the customer service rep at AMAP. And I guess the explanation he got right off the bat was, oh, yeah, you know, it's basically the privacy clause included in AMAP is just to help you out so we can know where you are and maybe better help you through your using habits and find you the best routes possible, you know? And that's, you know, that's that cliche answer you hear from all the customer service yeah. reps. But then, you know, if you press them sometimes, they go off the script. You know, the script is always what they try to answer your questions with. But maybe if you press these guys a little bit harder, you'll get a real answer. So I guess the customer service staff, he's like, okay, listen, man, listen. All right, I'm going to tell you. Here's what you do. Just accept it, but then don't give them the information. And so that was kind of his unofficial way of saying, hey, you can just say yes, download AMAP, but then you don't have to follow up with kind of the payment information or other certain things maybe you don't feel comfortable with. But in fact, I imagine maybe he did have to probably provide some information. He probably didn't want to just to use a map app. Anyways, my thought being here, even with this kind of customer service advice, we could call it, legally binding, signing a contract like that you're not even really comfortable with in the first place, saying, you know, AMAP has the right to your information and blah, 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 to give it to a third party whenever we feel like it. And even if you're not necessarily giving AMAP by accepting that your information, you're still saying maybe anytime in the future or your route or whatever, your habits, all this stuff, they can share whatever they want.
Yeah, it sounds like that is seriously yeah. opening gates to some dangerous territory.
Places,
yes.
Many places.
You don't know who your data is going to be sold to,
absolutely.
What that information is going to be used for, but I'm certain that big bucks are being made out of it. It just has nothing to do with me. I'm probably going to be spending more, that's all. So I think certainly as, you know, someone like me, who's a cave person that everybody knows who's listening to this show, it was very difficult for me to move on to this world of doing everything using apps. And I remember at first, and I used to disagree to these terms and clauses and agreements, whatever you call.
Were you able to do that?
Well, my decision ended up being I'm simply not using the apps.
Oh, okay.
And so that was initially how I fought with the situation. But then when you realize that everybody's using it, and especially with some of these sort of online service apps, if you don't agree to the terms, if you don't use the app, you're simply just not entering modern day age, and you have shut yourself out to so many good and convenient services. And I gradually realized that I have to embrace this new world, this new trend, which meant you have to give up these rights. And I remember back in the day when Mark Griffiths used to publicize on all shows on ECFM, I remember, that you should make up passwords, make up names, make up all this information that's required. But now, with the updated apps and services that we want to enjoy, and sometimes we feel if we don't, we're completely left out, you have to put your real information in.
Yeah.
For example, you have to put your real address in, or even exact spot where you are at, the intersection you are at. Otherwise, these taxis won't pick you up, and it's in your benefit that you have to agree to that. So that is a real predicament for people.
Right. Oh, yes. So basically, you're left with the option of, if you want to use technology, there's a part of you, an identity that you have to let them have. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They need to know you virtually through your ID information and all this stuff so that it's just not anonymity, but rather when payment and all this stuff is going on, they want to know where they get their money, where you are, all this different stuff, because there's real money involved. So maybe on some level we can understand that, right? When real money is going back and forth, a little more is needed than just the basics sometimes, especially when it's a big purchase. But the thing is, with a map service, like, you know, when I was reading this, New Hongland, I was thinking, you know, why not? I would just use Google Maps or maybe use Apple Maps, or there's, you know, Baidu Maps. I realize Baidu Maps does have you sign a terms and condition, but maybe by signing that, I'm not necessarily giving away, you know, I guess, as I understand, you know, what this app had said, AMAP had said, is the information it's taking is it's going to know the user's current location, their way of transportation. If you're booking any tickets, they obviously have your ID and information that way, and also big payment data that you're, all your expenditures that you're making through their third party. So that's a lot of information. And the thing is, this guy didn't have the option of just using AMAP. He had to agree to a third-party thing. It was necessary because technically you can use AMAP, right, without putting in this information. But his problem was you can't download AMAP because you have to agree to be able to share third-party information, your information with a third party. So how do you use a map, or how do you use an app map that you can't download, right? That's the catch-22. There's like, oh yeah, you know, you can use AMAP and not put in your information, but you can't download it.
Yeah, that's interesting. And also, like, giving up your information for some third party, that's just going
for something you're not even necessarily using that map or that app map for.
Yes, I'm glad we got that straightened out.
Yeah.
And it's totally understandable that one would be a little wary about who's this third party that's getting hands-on information that could potentially be a bit dangerous, as in this person would know your ID number, this third party would know your ID number, your exact location, the places that you frequent
That's
if you
scary.
Use the app. A map app?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. It's that app map.
I think I can think of some apps. Let's say they wanted to know your transportation means so that they can provide you with ads that's telling you how to get a, let's say, train ticket easily. And also they know where you are or your route. They can shoot you some apps about the restaurants nearby that can give you food delivery. So that's when I connect the dots and knowing why when I search something on Taobao, and later on I found the ads in, let's say, Baidu or whatever website you're looking at. So I feel like, well, they shouldn't know. I mean, Taobao knows, I get it, but now I know why everybody knows what I'm searching for. And I think it's scary in a way that we didn't even know before realizing that we're signing this.
Yeah.
And they have been, let's say, take advantage of this people signing the terms before downloading the app for a really long time. And apparently the Chinese authority has done something to regulate at least 10 apps to make sure they're doing some updating and changes to their terms and conditions. But apparently, if you're downloading AMAP right now, the app AMAP right now, you still see the terms and conditions that they hadn't changed before. I don't know when they're going to change it, but apparently now they're not changing it yet.
Right. And I think this is a good time to talk about maybe China's cybersecurity law as it pertains to protecting you from maybe information leakage that is your own personal information. Okay, so China's cybersecurity law, which was adopted by top legislature last November and took effect on June 1st, stipulates that internet service providers cannot collect user information that is irrelevant to the services, i.e. AMAP, and they should handle such information in line with laws and agreements. While protecting personal information, service providers should also make good use of such information to better offer services for the 800 million netizens that are online and using these kind of services. So we understand, you know, when I read this, it's a little ambiguous at first, you know, like better provide services. Well, the company can say, well, I am better providing services, and that could be an excuse. But one thing that I do think we can draw a line here is it's not relevant if I want to download AMAP that I have to give my information to them for a third party that I don't plan on using. And I should have a choice when I'm downloading that to be able to download it and not give that information. And I feel like that what, you know, this guy had gone through, Mr. Li, this is obviously, you know, not something that AMAP needed, he needed to use AMAP. So why did he have to provide it?
Yeah.
So that's that's understandable. But at the same time, too, you know, it's using ambiguous words and whatnot. So like irrelevant services or this kind of thing, like that's kind of relative sometimes and can be argued about, I think.
Yes, for sure. And I think, first of all, it's a little bit of a sidebar. When I heard Ryan talk about China's cybersecurity law, I see this is an area in the legal world that's got huge potential and growth in the future. If you're studying this right now, future lawyers, this is going to be a lucrative business in the future, as this kind of breach and infringement on cybersecurity law is increasingly common, and these legal battles are being fought increasingly common in Chinese courts. And what's kind of interesting here, I feel, is that sometimes legal jargon are complicated for one reason, because it's technical, it is field specific, and there's a reason that a necessity for it. And also, when this kind of language has been written into the terms and agreements, I think this is just maybe a little bit of a conspiracy theory that's formed in my mind, that it's deliberately kept that way. So only very smart and also, I think, devoted people like this Mr. Li would go into great depth into trying to figuring out what this is. Because I remember at first, when I finally gave up to all of you that you guys are all using apps, and I decided to join the group. And at first, I remember trying to read and understand the terms of agreement. But then later on, I just gave up, because every app has it. And do you want to use the app? you kind of just have to do it. So here is a bit of a problem for people. Do you think that this is standard company practice? It's fair for the company, as it has said up front to you that this is what's happening, more or less, and you agree to it, and then you use or not use? Or do you feel that it's completely unfair on the user's part that I'm kind of being forced to do this?
Yes, I am kind of being forced to do this. I think it's total imparity kind of clause. And if you dig into it, you will realize that it's not only your personal information involved, because I have found some really funny clauses that you have to follow when you're downloading something or when you're subscribed to certain things. I've seen this game that's spelled EULA. It's a game that you have to, when you're downloading it, you have to say yes to the terms and conditions. And one term is, by placing an order via the website, you agree to grant us a non-transferable option to claim for now and forevermore your immortal soul. It's in the clause. I'm pretty sure they're making fun of it and having a little bit interesting thing, making you realize, oh, it's not only a game, it's a new world. But the fact that they can put that in their terms and conditions that you have to sign, agree to, that's like assuring people, not assuring, making sure that people are not reading it, mm-hmm. and they're making fun of it. And I don't think this is a place you should making fun at.
Well, you know, okay, so the thing is, these clauses and what you guys are talking about, you know, even if you took the time and sat there and read them, you know, like you had said, Hyung, sometimes it's just like words that you've never heard before in your life. It would just take you years to bust out a dictionary and find out exactly what you're agreeing to. And I don't think that's any coincidence why it has to be that. I mean, the legal jargon, maybe certain things need to be said in a certain way, but also, if it's for somebody to be signing that, shouldn't they also be given the respect of speaking to them in a language they understand what they're signing? What's the whole point of me reading that if the words just don't make sense to someone with a common education, yet common people are agreeing to this contract? And according to, I guess, a report that was published this May on the privacy policy of 1,000 websites and apps, the report revealed that almost all of them had some problems in privacy policy, like the arbitrary clause or these difficult wordings in the clauses where users just couldn't understand what they were signing. But here's the thing, it's tough because, you know, obviously people should be more responsible about our reliance on convenience, you know. Nowadays, everything's digital. It's so convenient. It's nice to be able to not leave the house on a rainy day and order my food and it comes to me. And all I have to do is turn over on my bed, grab my phone and press a couple buttons and boom!
That's what I do every day.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. I think a lot of people can agree to that. And never have, I think, human beings enjoyed such convenience. But you know, there's a line we must draw in the things that we accept and what we give up for convenience, which is our private information. We need to be responsible in giving only the minimum or what is really necessary and understanding these kind of contracts and what we're signing. I think that's where hopefully people can be able to protect themselves. But okay, so that sounds like, yeah, how are people going to know that kind of stuff? Well, that's where I see maybe a solution in this, or one of the things we can do is letting people know, you know, giving people education on how to provide information online. Because I think sometimes a lot of scams take advantage of people not knowing what's okay to give and what's not okay to give when they're shopping or doing business online.
Yes, that's a very good point, and it's a very good reminder. But also, Ryan, I think the problem here, or a further problem that has been exposed right now, that is, even if you understand everything, then the more you understand, the more wary you become. And the problem is, you're still being semi-forced to sign, to agree, because as long as you want to use the app, you just have to agree to it. You have to give up.
Well, in order to increase personal information protection, China just finished reviewing some of these 10 clauses as they pertain to online service providers. This happened on August 24th. They're working with companies that are huge. Maybe you've heard of them. WeChat, Weibo, Taobao, Jingdong, so many, right? And this is also an effort that's being done by the Cyberspace Administration of China. Basically, they're looking to implement and protect your information as it pertains to buying stuff online. And they're asking these companies that people are going to all the time to buy stuff, how they can protect it. But I guess, you know, we'll find out here in the near future what they will do to maybe to better protect our rights as they pertain to buying stuff online. But what I would like to see is maybe an organization or part of maybe the Cyber Administration of China that has like a 1-800 line saying, hey, if you find something really fishy in a contract online, give us a call. We're going to take a look into it. And if it's not okay, and if it's asking for more than what they need, we're going to shut them down.
Ooh, that sounds very forceful.
Shut them down.
Yeah, shut them down. And it has to be enforced. And that's the really important part. And here is one area that I fear that the government or the law enforcement is constantly going to be playing catch me if you can, the
hopefully
mouse
they
and
can.
The cat race. Because when it comes to technology, definitely the state is behind, is always a leg behind.
I feel like everybody is. It's just moving so fast.
Yes, but it's promising to see that the government is stepping in more to defend our rights.
Don't give up.
As never have I felt so small and helpless when it comes to all this technology and not knowing what you're giving up to. You're listening to Roundtable.